Ewers, end zone. He does have Worthy. Xavier Worthy, ooh, comes inside where the guy has help, and then he gets it back out so smooth with it.
One of the most complete playmakers in all of college football.
Rolling to his right. Downfield for Worthy. Makes the catch. Touchdown, Texas.
Let's it fly in the corner. Touchdown, Worthy. And he is oh so worthy tonight.
He's got great speed, great length, and great understanding of where he is on the field.
And it's so difficult, one-on-one. This route is so deep. I mean, he starts to break out at 15 from the far hash. They're basically uncoverable.
To the sideline. Good catch.
Here, keep an eye on him. Watch him reverse. Go the other way. Get separation. Waiting. The patience there pays off.
Ball's on the 10-yard line.
Ewers to the end zone. Touchdown. Xavier Worthy.
Ewers on play. Action. Throw it downfield. And score. Caught by Worthy. Ewers. End zone. And the toe tap for Worthy.
Play fake. Going for Worthy. He's got it. It's touchdown.
I think you enjoyed listening to that. Stan Weber is in studio with us.
I just can't wait for Mitch to say touchdown Kansas City after that.
So again, as people tune in now in the 7 o'clock hour to listen to what we have to say, if you don't mind, Stan, after watching him calling K-State versus Texas football games, you've had a chance to watch him up close. Give me your profile or full evaluation of Xavier Worthy after watching him go up against K-State.
Well, first of all, you know, I'm not a big guy about what happened in Indianapolis at the Combine. I hardly watch it at all. I respect people who enjoy the entertainment of it, and the video of it's fine. So I don't usually go there. But when he shows the fastest 40 that you've ever seen, you get a new idea of what speed really is. So we can talk about a lot of players being fast coming out of college football, but this guy ran the fastest 40 at the combine. And then on the field, he uses that speed. How quickly can he get up to speed? It may not be his strength. It's not like Tyreek Hill, who can be stopped and seem to be at full speed at, what, two steps? It's going to take him a little bit longer than that, but once he gets going, it doesn't take long before he is able to play football, not just run track, play football. For instance, if he catches a punt and you don't get him immediately and he gets about 5 yards, he takes great angles. He not only has the speed to outrun people, he takes good angles. Watching his route running for the Texas Longhorns in the highlight films, you see some pretty good moves where he fakes inside and busts to the outside. But the main thing is he's catching the ball with his hands. He looks natural no matter what the route is. And then tracking a football deep, running underneath it, just because you outrun somebody and you have a half a step on them, which could be open in the NFL, or you watch that highlight package that you just played the audio from, Stephen, sometimes the defender does nothing wrong and just isn't quite as fast as him, so he has, what, one step on him? But to continue to keep your speed and track the football and snag it and not drop it are critical issues for fast football players. And he does all those things well with Andy Reid. They're going to be able to fit him in. He'll take the top off. He's going to be able to get the down-the-line throws. He's going to do everything Mecole Hardman could do and do it better. Okay, so this makes you wonder, is Mecole Hardman going to be on the roster going forward? He can do some things that threaten Kadarius Toney's ability to stay on the roster because he's going to be able to duplicate some of those things.
I think Kadarius Toney does some things that threaten his ability
exactly,
to stay on the roster.
But I'm just sticking up for sticking up for Nate because Nate's not here right now.
Don't worry about it. Let's bury Nate while he's gone. Sorry.
The thing that I think is also exciting about this, you asked me last week, you know, should the Chiefs, if you had a choice, go receiver or offensive lineman, and it was the easiest answer for me ever, and you're seeing the excitement level today playing out that same way. I said wide receiver right away. But here's the other thing. Rashee Rice. This is going to make Rashee Rice a better player, in my opinion, because he has a choice in life. He's done something that was so dangerous and so bad that he's fortunate that no one passed away when they were racing cars at over 100 miles an hour in Texas. And he's a player who has that run-after-catch capability for the Chiefs. He was looking like a number one receiver for the Chiefs on the field. But guess what? He's going to have to refine his route running. He's going to have to do everything right off the field to keep that number one receiver mentality, because Xavier Worthy is going to take some of his route tree away. You want run after catch? Throw the ball to Xavier. You don't have to throw it to Rashee Rice. But Rashee Rice now should be a more refined receiver. Second year in the NFL, he needs to get another level of seriousness to go, I'm not just the guy. You know, everyone knows that it starts with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. No one in the Chiefs locker room even thinks about that. But you know what? Rashee Rice is now in the sentence often when Andy Reid talks about weapons, right? He's earned his way to be in there. And I think as a young player, you walk in, you win the Super Bowl, you went to SMU, you're hanging out with your buds in Dallas. I think Rashee Rice probably has an attitude of, oh, man, I made it. You know, I'm good. This is easy. You know what's going to happen when he gets to training camp and Xavier Worthy's out there? And he's getting some of the feature routes that Rashee Rice was starting to get at the end of last year. It's going to say, you got a choice, dude. Are you just going to try to be in competition with Xavier and wonder who's going to get the big plays? Or are you going to refine yourself and use your physicality? Because Xavier Worthy should not be able to run the route tree the way Rashee Rice does. He is ready to be an NFL receiver to catch the ball over the middle where the tight ends catch it. You run your perfect routes for 12-yard gains and those kind of things, and those two guys can be complements to each other and make each other even better. So I am so excited because I think this is going to be a slap in the face to Rashee Rice. You think you're the best receiver the Chiefs have after the tight end? Maybe not. Xavier Worthy might be the dude, and you're second, so you better get your crap together and get to work.
And guess what? Hollywood Brown.
And Hollywood Brown. So Rashee Rice, if he gets sat down by the NFL for 4 to 8 games, if that's what happens, and it happens at the beginning of the year,
right?
He's going to watch that Chief offense roll.
Right. That's right.
At wide receiver. And guess what? He can be great. We showed what he could do last year. But there's still a whole other level of excellence in route running and discipline that Rashee Rice has capabilities of doing.
Imagine those three on the field with Kelce in the postseason. Thank you.
Against Buffalo.
Well,
yeah, Buffalo might not be there.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, here's a couple of clips I want to play that I thought were good. This is from last month when Xavier Worthy was on Up and Adams with Kay Adams, and she was asking him about who his NFL comp would be.
If you were to compare yourself to a current or former player, who would that be?
If I was going to compare myself to anybody, I modeled my game after DeSean Jackson. So I feel like that was really like my kind of like my go-to, like whatever I needed, like to look at film or anything, I would look at him.
He comes on my show like every week. We love DeSean Jackson. I just saw him at Super Bowl. Wait, when you watch him, what do you pick up? What do you see?
Just like how smart he is. He's a really smart football player. I feel like people don't give him credit for that. Just him understanding leverage and just what he does with the ball in his hands. I feel like I kind of took that into my game, and I feel like just put the ball in my hands, I feel like I'm dangerous for anywhere on the field.
Excellent. Now here's another clip. That last clip I sent you, Jake, this was the Phil St. John, by the way, was furious that they didn't show the Xavier Worthy watch party right when he was picked. So they had finally, then I found it on social media because we were watching the draft together. And so then this is this has made me laugh. So this is Xavier Worthy sitting with all of his family and friends around him. And then you hear when they're getting ready to announce his pick, someone standing right behind him puts his arm around him and makes the my favorite comment of the night. And you can hear what he says, the same thing we're all thinking.
To the Kansas City Chiefs.
The guy right behind him grabs. He goes, "They're gonna regret that trade," which is basically
talking to Buffalo. Okay, right here.
The best part, they're just watching it right before he puts his arm. They're gonna regret that trade. Like
24 in the contract. The back-to-back.
It's also great to hear the announcement of the pick by the Make-A-Wish kid.
Oh, what a great job he did.
Wow. It's not easy to be.
No.
I mean, the commissioner even struggled a little bit.
Well, he was better than the commissioner.
Yeah, right. He had a home run.
And I will say awesome. This, though.
And they didn't put that on his card, by the way. He said that himself.
I think he's from Liberty North, maybe. But he knocked it out of the park.
Two-time defending Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs.
When he said that, I got all fired up. I threw an air punch.
The Buffalo Bills have traded the 28th pick to the Kansas City Chiefs. With the 28th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs, Xavier Worthy.
That is so hard to do. Publicly speak and to read those cards, they want you to say it a certain way, the 2024 draft, because they could replay this for years and years and years, and he ad-libbed it perfectly in there about the Chiefs being defending Super Bowl champions, and it was awesome. How about his red shirt?
Great job. He knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, it looks sharp.
it was,
Guess what? The Chiefs just continue to get better, and the rest of the NFL languishes around, making surprise decisions.
So,
gonna regret that trade,
right? That's my guy.
He's great.
Now he's the star of the night for me. They're gonna regret that trade.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. We'll have some. We've got a few Xavier Worthy clips that we'll play coming up in the next segment, but let's just switch gears briefly, and I want to ask you about some other things that happen in the draft. Number one, and I Jake is a contrarian. Jake will defend the indefensible. Jake will sometimes just take a stance just for the hell of it.
Plant my flag.
So it didn't surprise me that he quickly came to the defense of the Atlanta Falcons this morning. Then I feel like he walked it back just a little bit. But
am I supposed to help Jake's case here?
I just want to hear what you say.
There's two sides to every story.
There is, but it's just
okay. Let's start with the basics. They paid a ton of money for Kirk Cousins. A ton of money, and it's guaranteed money nowadays. And it's hard to trade players that you give giant bonuses to, because the cap system works well for that, but trading it and moving those cap dollars is hard to do. So they made their statement about Kirk Cousins, and then they came in and got Michael Penix Jr. Now, I was a big fan of Michael Penix Jr. last week because I thought he was underrated, and it looks like the NFL said, no, he's not underrated.
We all like
him. They love him as well, and he's an older player. He's 24 years old already, not 21 years old. Played 4 years at Indiana, then on to Washington. Got injured a lot. He has a big injury history, right? That was the biggest knock against him. So it's easy to say, what the heck is Atlanta doing? There's not consistency in their plan. Heck, they had a young quarterback playing last year that they drafted fairly high out of Cincinnati. So you add that to the equation, you're going, what's going on? But let's just take it to the other end for Jake's case, okay? You didn't say that was okay,
sure,
Stephen.
Sure, yeah.
You don't want to hear any other side of...
No, I do.
Number one, when you're making decisions in life, you can't look at your last decisions to keep you from making the next right decision. So the fact that they liked Michael Penix Jr. and probably were surprised that he's available could be a good decision, even if they got Kirk Cousins. Being quarterback heavy is way better than being quarterback light. Way better. So what happens if Kirk Cousins gets hurt again and only plays 7 games next year? They aren't going to lose because they don't have a quarterback. The Kansas City Chiefs have now given everyone the thought process, and you hear a lot of experts say, wouldn't it be great for a rookie quarterback to sit under a veteran for 1 year and get better? If you go with that philosophy and say Michael Penix Jr. is going to learn a lot from Kirk Cousins next year, that will help his career. So I'll say it this way, Stephen. If you want to spin this thing completely upside down, let me give you this example. The Chiefs draft Patrick Mahomes. Now, no one knew that Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes at that time, okay? And they had Alex Smith winning the divisions. And Alex Smith, if you advance the year that Patrick sat, was the best quarterback in the NFL probably that year. Yet they still had the room full of those guys, and they said, we're going to go with Patrick Mahomes, he's better, and move Alex Smith. There's some room for that here, and Michael Penix Jr. still is valuable. If the NFL thinks of him as strongly as they do today, wishing they had him like the Raiders, why not after next year, if Kirk Cousins just kills it and takes Atlanta to the Super Bowl, they go, why don't we trade Michael Penix to another team and get some stash there? Or if Kirk Cousins isn't as good as Michael Penix Jr., you sit him to the side. It's not consistent with what they've done the last few years. I'm not sticking up for the Atlanta Falcons organization. But there's definitely a statement that I will say, for Jake's sake especially, I would rather have too much money spent and too good of talent in my quarterback room than not have it.
Like for me, like the Packers comparison, they already had Rodgers. The Chiefs already had Alex Smith. They just signed this guy last month. And on top of that, there's no surprise. I mean, he was going to be there at 8. It's like he didn't fall to 8. That was above.
I agree with that.
Right?
But they may have been surprised after they signed Cousins how much they loved him. After they got to know him more.
Bill Barnwell summed it up pretty well in a tweet he just had. It's pretty incredible to think that the Falcons managed to fall in love with Penix between signing Kirk Cousins in early March in the draft. Or it's pretty incredible that they were already in love with Penix by the open of free agency and gave Cousins $100 million anyway. It's just like the timing of it just doesn't, it's like, you and Cousins, and on top of that, immediately, Cousins' agent was calling every NFL insider on every network, and right away, Daniel Jeremiah said, I just talked to Kirk Cousins' agent. They didn't give him a heads up on this. They didn't let him know about this until they were on the clock. He's not happy. The agent isn't happy. That's not a great way to start things, no, I would imagine. And Kirk Cousins did go there. He's old to try to win right away. And yes, you're right. The Falcons now are protected at quarterback. But if you're Kirk Cousins, part of the equation of signing with Atlanta is, hey, we got the number 8 pick, too. I'm going to get a stud offensive lineman or the best defensive player in the draft or a stud wide receiver, and we could win this division, and maybe we can go to the Super Bowl. That doesn't help him. If you're Kirk Cousins, you got to be super pissed right now, especially because they didn't tell you. And if you're a Falcons fan, I mean, pick a lane. Like, they just signed Cousins. That's why I think it's different, and it seemed bizarre. But guess what? I don't care about the Atlanta Falcons. I just found it to be amazing television. But the best part of it, the end result is the Raiders don't get them, and the Broncos don't get them.
That's the big thing.
So screw you, Denver.
It's great
and
for the
Las
Chiefs.
Vegas. I like him in Atlanta.
And the draft worked out so well for teams like the Chiefs, where 6 of the top 12 picks were quarterbacks. So teams are so desperate for quarterbacks, they'll find any reason to talk themselves into these guys.
Do you like Bo Nix?
And moving up. What are we talking about like Bo Nix?
I mean, did Denver find
you want to talk about the quarterback? You want to talk about the quarterbacks for a second?
Sure. I
like Bo Nix.
Okay.
Out of the 6 quarterbacks, I think Bo Nix has a chance to be a good pro. I haven't talked about the other 5, but I think he's better, more reliable than Drake May.
I just care more because it's Denver. Well, New England matters, too, because I would like them to suffer for decades. So if I could choose, I'd like him to be a bust. To be honest with you.
I don't like that he went to Denver. I would have rather seen J.J. McCarthy. I think Bo Nix is better than J.J. McCarthy.
But McCarthy's situation is better, so that's always an interesting debate, right? It's all about where you go. People say
it absolutely is. But you could argue that if Sean Payton can create his old magic, doesn't mean he can, but if he could, with what he did in New Orleans with Breeze, Bo Nix is kind of that same type of guy, an older quarterback. When Drew Breeze got to New Orleans, he was not a youngster. He had already flowed through the Chargers system, and he went there coming off injury, and they went on and had an unbelievable run in New Orleans. So I don't like he's the quarterback at Denver. I would J.J. McCarthy is a game manager who I don't think has super arm strength, super mobility. Love his attitude.
We'll never know. But do you think if the Falcons hadn't have made this Penix pick, and the Vikings had Penix and McCarthy in front of them, do you think they would have picked Penix or McCarthy?
For some reason, people like McCarthy. I think they'd pick Penix. I was high on Penix last week, but I thought people were talking about him at the 20th pick, right? And I go, I would move him up with the rest of these guys, but that did not happen.
Stan, people were talking about two weeks ago, well, the Chiefs are in a good spot here because if Penix or Bo Nix falls to number 32, a quarterback-hungry team might give a lot to move into the 32nd spot. And they were saying that about Nix and Penix, and neither one of them got out of the top 12. That's what was wild to me.
Well, can I give you my bullet points on the quarterbacks?
Sure.
Since we're talking about it, is that...
Jake's writing it down, so you better make it count.
Is that okay, Jake?
Absolutely.
Okay. Caleb Williams. Had to pick him first, and I get all that Heisman Trophy winner. But go back and watch the highlights. Almost all the plays they show are him moving outside the pocket and making plays, and everyone says, oh, that's Patrick Mahomes. You know what I say? And my wife was watching. She knows nothing about football. And I go, watch this highlight. He never is seen throwing the ball from the pocket on time. That's how you win in the NFL. It would scare the heck out of me to say he's going to be that great.
He got some weapons, though, I'll tell you that.
He does have weapons, but they're still the Bears.
Yeah.
Okay?
But, I mean, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, they drafted that kid last night out of Washington.
Is he going to throw on time to the right receiver? He seems a little silly in his personal attitude to me.
Jake doesn't like him.
I'm not writing him off as, oh, he's the great quarterback. Because who? J.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud.
C.J., yeah. C.J. Stroud. He's the killer from last year's draft class. We didn't know that sitting here on Friday after the draft, right? We didn't say, C.J. Stroud, watch him go. We said another talented Ohio State quarterback. We didn't know which ones were going to turn out to be great. I think he's the real deal. C.J. is the real deal for the Texans. Will Caleb Williams be that guy? He kind of scares me. Jaden Daniels is thin. Can he take the physicality? He throws from the pocket more reliably than Caleb Williams. And he can run really fast, so he is an interesting, dangerous quarterback. Drake May, I think, is a guy that at North Carolina was too inconsistent. Trubisky, you remember him going to the Bears?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is Drake May going to dominate college? I mean, the NFL? I don't see it, right?
What was his completion percentage at North Carolina? They were comparing it to Josh Allen because Josh Allen worked out well, but I think it was below 60%.
I would not be. If I'm New England, I don't think New England's going to be a competitor to the Chiefs for the championships. Belichick's gone. This quarterback doesn't scare me. I like Michael Penix Jr., but I liked him as an underdog, as an underrated guy. Okay? J.J. McCarthy, nice kid, not going to make a big difference in the National Football League. And I think Bo Nix, if in the right situation, actually has the mobility to do a lot of the things that the Caleb Williams and those guys do. He has more ability to throw from the pocket on time. He's a grown-up. He's married. He is serious. And if he gets the right coaching, he also looks downfield. Don't forget that he's not a game manager to throw the ball underneath. And he actually go look at the Oregon highlights. He wants to throw the ball down deep. So I do like Bo Nix. And I would have rather had Bo Nix on my team than Drake May, period.
Hmm. We have Stan Weber in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We had Todd Lebo out at Arrowhead last night. And also, we had Bethany Bowman out at Arrowhead reporting live. And she put together a report with some sound from Andy Reid, Brett Veach, Xavier Worthy. Let's take a listen.
The 2024 NFL Draft kicked off tonight, and as it approaches midnight, you can still see behind me a well-lit office where the Chiefs coaching staff, scouts, and front office hard at work this evening. The Chiefs ended up being able to trade up with the Buffalo Bills to the 28th overall pick, and that landed them speedy wide receiver out of the University of Texas, Xavier Worthy.
With the 28th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs, select Xavier. Xavier Worthy.
He ran the fastest 40-yard dash time at the NFL Combine this year at a blazing 4.21. We talked with Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, GM Brett Veach, and the newest Chief himself on draft night.
Oh man, I'm coming with a mentality to work hard and earn my spot, and earn my spot in the locker room. I feel like I'm a multi-play receiver. I can run the whole route tree, disciplined, smart, know the game very well, so I feel like I'm bringing up a complete receiver set against Kansas City.
Listen, I think it's a quarterback leading. It's a speed game, and you know, the more speed you have on the field, the harder it is for defenses to take away different elements of the game. And you know, anytime you can add speed and add a guy with that type of versatility, I think you know you're going to be interested. And again, we have a couple guys now that I think can keep defenses guessing and excited about what this will do in the inside game too, with Travis and Rasheed too. So I think it's we have a good thing going here, and got to get these guys into camp and up and running. But you know, anytime you can add that kind of offensive firepower, and I mean 4-2-1 is it's pretty legit speed there. And
in 39 career starts for the Longhorns, he racked up 2,700 plus career receiving yards, 26 touchdowns. But that's not all. He has the second best punt return average for a career and season in Texas program history. Andy Reid told us immediately after the pick that Worthy will start off playing both receiver and special teams with the Chiefs.
We think he's a heck of a football player, number one. He does a few different things. He's a good wide receiver and also a good special teams returner, and he'll end up doing both to start things off with. So, and he'll just work into that rotation when we get him, the wide receiver rotation, and with Hollywood and Rishi and Kels and, you know, the other fellows. So it should give Pat another weapon there in which to use.
I feel like down the field is obviously a given, but I feel like intermediate and like kind of like the actual route running, the route tree, I feel like I can run it all, and I feel like I'm effective from it all, bubble screens, reverses. Anywhere a ball can touch my hands, I feel like I can make a play.
The NFL draft will continue on Friday night with the Kansas City Chiefs currently holding the 64th overall pick in the second round. Reporting here from the Chiefs practice facility in Kansas City, Bethany Bowman, Sports Radio 810 WHV.
Good stuff from Bethany Bowman and her report last night from Arrowhead. Also, good stuff from Todd Lebo as he texted me a picture of the steak he was eating out at
looked delicious.
Arrowhead. So.
Nice cut.
Well, I heard it was great meal time for the media. Yeah, well, maybe the best of the year. Is that right? Is that
what
Todd Lebo says?
It looked like a fillet, didn't it? I mean,
yeah, it did look
on?
Like a fillet.
There was some kind of fish. It was a surf and turf. I don't know.
Type of loin.
Not game day fare.
No. No, sir. Absolutely not.
Not chicken fingers
good,
and hot dogs.
Good day to you, sir. Special teams. We cannot overlook the impact that Xavier Worthy will have on special teams, because Brett Veach and Andy Reid reminded us of it several times last night.
That's true. Let's talk real quickly about the new kickoff rule. Very excited about what the NFL is going to do. But basically, when they kick it off from the 35-yard line and hit it the other direction, if they want to shoot it into the end zone like we saw way too often, no kickoff returns in the Super Bowl, for instance, you get the ball at the 30-yard line, not the 25. So most teams, it appears, are going to try to kick the ball where they're supposed to, which is between the goal line and the 20-yard line. Okay, so between the goal line and the 20-yard line is a big area. 20 yards, obviously, from that direction, and 53.5 the other direction. Kickers are going to be trying to do different things to get the ball there, including hitting line drives and bouncing them through there, because if it bounces into that area and goes through the end zone, then I think you get the ball at the 20-yard line. There are only going to be two players back there that can move. When the ball's kicked, the kicker can't go past the 50-yard line, so he's going to kick it and wait for the ball to come down, and two guys are going to be allowed to be in the zone, Stephen, from the goal line to the 20-yard line and 53 yards and a half yards wide. Xavier Worthy could be one of those two guys, and no one can come after you until you catch it. But can you get your hands on the ball? Can you get squared up? How about outfielders? How about the Royals right now? Are you more likely to throw a guy out at home if you get your rhythm on a fly ball catch and then turn and ready to throw in rhythm, squared up, moving forward, right?
Right.
Versus if you're running backwards and you catch the ball, are you really going to make a great throw to home like Alex Gordon used to?
By the way, how about that catch from Kyle Isbell yesterday, one of the best catches we've seen in Kauffman Stadium. Good God. If you consider the elements, maybe he can be a wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. Go on, Stan.
One-handed catches only, though.
Fantastic.
That was fantastic. Another win for the Royals, three in a row. But you see in baseball, does that make sense, an outfielder?
Sure.
Getting ready while the ball's in flight. If you can get in the right rhythm to move forward and throw it, well, that's what the kickoff return is going to be like, because everyone's going to be standing there waiting. All your blockers can't move. All the 10 guys who are going to come try to tackle you are going to be standing there at your 40-yard line waiting for you to touch it. What happens if you have the speed, Stephen, to get underneath the ball and start running when you catch it? What is that extra step or two going to mean on your returns, on the explosiveness? That's where that speed can come in. He has the ability to do it. Catching punts is the hardest thing to do. I know there's a lot of hard things in football, but in special teams, when that ball is put up in the air and it curves in the air, left-handed punters are awful to try to catch. You do that with all the traffic around. He's been catching footballs with that kind of stress all the time. So as a kick returner, the Chiefs are just getting more and more guys. I mean, they bring over a rugby player who might be excellent in the return area. And they say they're going to make him a running back, right? Not a wide receiver, because he's used to the physicality and bouncing off of people. But the point is, you look at all the options the Chiefs have in the return game, and you're going, do you still need to stack up more? The answer is yes. You're going to have two great returners. Not one. Two great returners back there, because it's going to be hard to catch the balls that the kickers are trying to shoot down there. They're going to do everything they can to make it hard to catch. And a guy like Worthy, can you imagine him catching the ball at the five-yard line, running forward, sprinting, and starting off on the Chiefs' kick return unit?
Another terrific weapon added by the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll take a break. We'll do another segment with Stan Weber. I want to mention that today, if you want to come out and say hi, I will be at the Deck Supply from 11 until 1 o'clock. If you want to come out and say hello, I'm going to be at the Overland Park location, so come out and see me. Now through Saturday, if you mention Sports Radio 810, you will receive contractor pricing. So that is awesome. And if you want to come out and say hello, also I've got some stuff to give away. We're going to have lunch from Schlotsky's, so sandwich and chips from our friends at Schlotsky's. We're going to have tickets to game one of the championship series for the Kansas City Comets on Sunday here in Kansas City. So we'll have tickets for that while they last. And also, the Comets are going to be stopping by with some championship T-shirts to give out. And, of course, we'll have plenty of 810 giveaways, all kinds of great stuff. For more information about the locations, go to thedecksupply.com. I will be at the Metcalf location, if you want to come out and see me, the Overland Park location, today from 11 until 1, lunch from Schlotsky's. You can get tickets to the next playoff game for the Comets.
I'm getting tickets.
That's exactly right. And also win other fabulous prizes. Get yourself a Comets T-shirt. 7068 West 105th Street in Overland Park, not too far off of Metcalf. For more information, go to thedecksupply.com. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHP. All right, Stan Weber. The Chiefs, as of right now, have one pick tonight after trading out of the third round. They had to do that to move up in the first round. But we know they have a second-round pick.
What will Buffalo do to trade with them?
Right. And look, and as Jake pointed out, The trade-ups might not be done. They still have that third-round pick for next year. There would be good ammunition. What do you think should be at the top of their wish list tonight? What would you like to see them do in the second round?
Well, I don't have a lot of wish list items because the Chiefs are the best team in football. They know what they're doing so much better than me that it'd be hard for me to guess where they need to go. But there are so many good players that have been pushed back because of the overdrafting of quarterbacks. And the defensive players, like when people said, you could have had the best defensive player for Atlanta, for instance, I would say to you, which guy would you have picked? None of these guys are Micah Parsons to me. All of them seem to be, you're okay, but you don't look like a dominant defender to me. But those guys have all been pushed back. The quality has been pushed back further, and there's still going to be some overdrafting of quarterbacks. Spencer Rattler from South Carolina, that was Oklahoma.
Lebo's guy.
He'll go sooner than he should. You know, so you're going to be able to sit and wait.
Sooner than he should. You see that? That was for you, Todd. That was a private message from Stan Weber to Todd Lebo right there.
We hooked those things together.
I like it. Todd does not like Spencer Rattler. I'll just be honest. He does not like him at all.
I think that the Raiders at 44 might take a flyer on
him. And I'll have it.
There you go.
I shall have it.
The dynamic duo of Minshew and Rattler.
I would obviously like to see them pick up a cornerback. They're good at developing and choosing those guys. L'Jarius Sneed moved on. Adding depth to that position I think is important because you're getting to a modern style of football. You heard Veach say it's a quarterback and speed game. Well, with that speed component means you're not playing as many safeties as extra players. You'll have two safeties on the field, but you're going to have three cornerbacks on the field so much of a game. And winning those battles on third down are what the NFL is all about. So you can't have too many cornerbacks. And then you want to have different ages, right? Because when guys get to be expensive, L'Jarius Sneed, why wouldn't the Chiefs want to have him on their roster? If it were 1970, he'd still be a Kansas City Chief. But with free agency and the salary cap and the way the NFL works right now, you can't keep these guys forever. And Trent McDuffie, for instance, and these younger guys, they're already, many of them, in their third year. So why not get a rookie right now to learn from them and move up? So I think with Sneed leaving, the cornerback position went up in my priority list. Offensive linemen, you're always trying to look and find and build with those guys to get ready to replace this generation. The interior of the Chiefs' offensive line is such a strength, but you're not going to be able to keep those two guards in center forever, so you can bring younger guys behind them. Obviously, on the defensive line, there's still room, even though Chris Jones is there, even though they drafted Felix Anudike Uzomah number one last year, there's still room to bring guys in on the defensive line to be a factor. And the defense is so solid right now, but you're going to need to restock the linebackers. Tranquil's not going to be there. Nick Bolton's not going to be there forever. So you see what I'm saying? The Chiefs can just let the board come to them, pick the guy that they want. What's amazing is they aren't just sitting there and saying, we picked the best player available on our board. They are definitive in who they want. That's why they trade with the Bills and move up four spots. They go, we don't want just a receiver. We want Xavier Worthy. And I trust them so much identifying those guys. So wherever they go, they've just got the option of adding additional icing on what is an awesome cake.
Congratulations to Darius Robinson out of Mizzou, going number 27 overall to the Cardinals. Tonight, we'll have our eyes on Cooper Beebe, who get drafted.
Ben Sennett from K-State.
That's right.
Also Rakestraw.
A couple of Ennis Rakestraw from Mizzou, then a couple of KU kids, Dominic Pooney, and also Austin Booker.
And so pass rusher.
We can see several. But Cooper Beebe, Kansas City kid, KCK kid, let's go. I would love to see him. You know what?
Yeah, I know what you're thinking.
Kansas City wants to get cute. I don't, you know, give me offensive line.
Drops down in the second round far enough that the Chiefs go,
someone's
targeting
that guy. But someone's going to get a hell of a player in Cooper Beebe.
Yeah, and he has all the
round.
Flexibility in the world because he's a swing type of lineman who can play tackle, started 2 years at tackle, one at right, one at left, and then dominated at left guard.
That's and what does Andy Reid like? Versatility from his offensive lineman.
He likes offensive lineman.
I'll take that.
But he's better working with the quarterbacks, by the way.
Right. Stan Weber?
An hour and a half already
we
up?
We could have talked about this for 5 hours.
I can't believe the clock is right. Did someone mess with this clock?
I don't know.
It is not close to 7:56, is it? You know, it feels like 7 o'clock right now. It feels like we've just got started.
Stan, thank you so much for hanging out with us and helping us break down the draft.
Let's enjoy more of the Chiefs' dominance and watching teams like Buffalo grease the path for the Chiefs.
Thank you. That is Stan Weber. We'll be back after this on WHB.